Yeah, I'm going to take the roll call right now, and then Grace Aaron.
Here.
Ken Aaron.
Here.
Catherine Davis, present. Benita Diaz.
Present.
Jim Dingman, absent. Anisha Faruqi?
Here.
Okay. Steve Pride? Absent. Eric Ramey?
Present.
Murray Cliff Smith? Absent. Tom Voorhees?
Here.
Okay, and Maxie Jackson?
Present.
Okay, so we have quorum. So I am going to officially convene this meeting. It is Tuesday, January 29th. We do have quorum, and we will proceed, and hopefully we'll be able to get on the stream. So roll call is...
Yeah,
8:59 p.m. Okay, 8:59 p.m. is the time. And timekeeper, please, Eric.
Oh, will do.
Okay, great. We don't have minutes to approve, so we're going to defer that to the next meeting.
Point of order, I believe Jim Dingman was the secretary, is that correct?
He is the secretary, he's not here. He sent the two motions that were passed, I believe. I actually didn't see them till this evening, but we didn't receive minutes. Did you see minutes?
But, no, but I'm just pointing out we need a secretary for the meeting.
Ah, would you like to be secretary for the meeting? Okay. Or do we have a volunteer to be secretary for the meeting? No? Okay, well, I volunteer to be a note taker. I'm not sure that qualifies me as a secretary, but okay. Are there any changes or additions to the agenda?
This is Ken. I'd like to... This is Ken. Go ahead, Benito, and then Ken.
Yes, Benito.
This is a continuing issue of the status of Sabrina Jacobs.
Okay.
Tom's going to have to drop off for about 15 minutes, and then I'll be back.
Okay. Ken?
My thing is, looking at a list of all of these motions that we're going to be discussing and have addressed in the previous meetings, we should have a way of administering the results of these things. Passing the motions is nice, but we've got to keep a track record if they're approved and if they're implemented and so forth. We want to keep a track on this rather than just going through the academic thing of discussing them and getting them approved or not. We want to make sure that they were sent to the PNB and are addressed by the PNB and approved or not and then implemented or not. So I just wanted to, I don't want to, unfortunately, I'm not willing to necessarily volunteer on it. But I could work with Jim on it. It's not so much the method of it. We need to decide a protocol for that. What's our responsibility? The passing of motions is like, it's academic. We have to get it approved by the PNB and then implement it. So I'd like to discuss a method of follow-up. And add that to the agenda as the first thing.
Okay. List of motions. Okie dokie. we shall do that.
This is Grace. I'm willing to take notes and to free you up, Catherine.
Okay.
I'll have to work with you later to fill in some of the things that you've already noted down so far. But
okay. Grace. Note taker. Okay. So, all right, are there any other additions or changes to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none, we will proceed. Okay, so the first thing, Ken, is to keep track and keep a record. You wanted to put that first?
Well, yes, except, yes, okay. But we had the thing that Benito brought up about Sabrina.
Sabrina Jacobs, yes. Did, so you didn't want it first, you wanted it to go underneath that.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, Benito.
Well, I don't really have anything to add. I've spoken to this issue before in writing and probably in verbally as well, if I remember. But it's just an issue of who represents KPFA on this committee. And there can only be one rep per station, per committee, based on the PMB decision in early 2017. And so, and when the, you know, when the PMB set up these or voted, you know, to put each of us on these committees, we voted, or the PMB voted, to elect Tom Voorhees as the rep from KPFA. So if that is the case, you can't have a second or third person also representing that station.
Yeah, Tom Voorhees is the PNB rep to this committee, not Sabrina Jacobs. My understanding initially was that Sabrina had been elected by the local station board, but as a consequence of your inquiry, though I have not objected to her attending meetings, she's not on the roll and doesn't vote. So that's how I've resolved it to this point. So she doesn't, her name is not called as part of the role. And
but she's
as part of the vote.
You're saying that she still can attend.
Yes.
So that still gives KPFA more representation than any other station. And it counteracts the whole intent of the PMB's, motion.
Okay, yeah, well, that's true, it does, in the sense that there's a presence, her presence is here, but that's how I've chosen to resolve it. And I would say, in terms of representation per station, the people who are actually showing up are fairly paltry, and not every station is equally represented. So, yeah, that's how I've resolved it. So if you would like, that's the ruling that I'm making. Would you like to challenge my ruling?
Yes, but because,
okay.
Catherine, with all due respect, it's not a decision for you to make.
Okay,
this is
it's fine.
Hey, so hold up, let me finish. This is a decision already made by the CMB.
Okay.
We as a committee cannot go above the PMB and do something different than the, and I do not agree, by the way, I certainly do not agree with the decision that was made by the PMB, but nevertheless, that's what it was. So we have to abide.
Well, I've made a decision, and you can take it as a ruling. You've challenged the ruling. So let's take a vote on upholding the ruling of the chair. Okay.
Catherine, if I can just... I'm sorry, this is not a motion then.
Yeah, it's just upholding the ruling of the chair.
This is Grace. I have a point of order, I think.
Okay.
I'm confused. Shouldn't we get the agenda decided on first? Is this an agenda item, or are we?
No, we finished the agenda. There were two additions to the agenda.
Oh, okay. Did we vote on it?
And no, we never do. But we can vote on it.
I'm sorry, as a secretary, I'm trying to keep this minute. So I assume that, you know, the agenda would have to be approved by the body.
Well, generally, what we have done is I accept any changes or additions. So, you're right. I didn't ask if there are any objections to the agenda, so I will ask. Are there any objections to the agenda as amended? And then I'll go back to the item. Are there any objections to the agenda as amended?
This is Grace again. Sorry.
Yes,
we should give times to the agenda items so we have some structure to the meeting. So, and so that it's, you know, each agenda item is limited.
All of the existing items have 10 minutes.
Okay.
So the new items, let's also give them 10 minutes.
Sure.
Okay. Does that sound reasonable to you?
Yeah. That's good.
Okay.
So our approximate adjourn time is 11:30 based on what we're saying now. Then.
Yeah. No, we're not going to go to 11:30, I don't think. We'll just complete as much as we can complete.
Okay.
Okay. So my apologies for not getting that approval of the agenda. Now we're back to the Benito's raising a question on the status of Sabrina Jacobs. And my ruling had been to remove Sabrina from the roll as not being counted on the roll or to be called for vote, but to be present. So that was my ruling. Benito challenged the ruling, and I would like to take a vote on to reject the ruling. So you would say, no, accept the ruling and say yes, okay? If that makes sense.
Accepting your ruling.
So accepting my ruling would be a yes, rejecting my ruling would be a no. Okay, Grace Aaron.
Okay, just to clarify, so you're ruling that Sabrina Jacobs' participation in this committee may continue?
May continue, but not as a voting member.
Oh.
She's not officially elected by the PNB. So I removed her from the official role, similar as I have removed other people from the role for different reasons.
Okay, thank you for that. Sorry for being a pest, but thank you for that.
No, that's fine.
Maxie, with a point of clarity, too.
Yes, Maxie.
I'm not sure if that's the proper term, but what is the benefit, or what's the advantage gained if someone is allowed to participate without being able to vote? I'm just trying to understand what Benito's concern is. Not that it's not legitimate. I'm not challenging his concern. I'm trying to understand what is the advantage to a station to have someone listening but unable to vote.
Participating in the discussion.
I'm trying to understand what maybe Benito can answer this. What is the advantage that the KPFK, I believe, has, KPFA has, with Sabrina involved, not on the roll, listening in? I'm just curious. And again, I'm not challenging you. I'm just trying to understand what it is you perceive to be a disadvantage to the other stations.
This PMB, in early 2017, one of the first motions that was pushed and by Grace and approved by the majority was to reduce the number of representatives, PMB representatives, that could participate in each and every one of the PMB committees.
Yeah.
And they made a point of saying only one per station, per committee. So if someone participates, especially habitually participates in the activities and discussions of a committee, even though they don't formally have a vote, you know what I'm saying? That you have influence. And so that means that one station has the opportunity to have greater influence than the other stations. And it just so happens, I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but the issue of KPFA exceptionalism and extra rights has come up over the years time and time and time again, so this is only the latest example of that.
I got you. Benito, thanks for the explanation. I'm clear now. I understand what the concern is. I get it. Thank you.
This is Grace. I'd like to... may I have
yes, Grace.
The floor? Okay.
Yes.
What Benito's saying is partially true, partially not true. There was an initiative some years ago to allow unlimited participation by directors on the various committees. I believe that was rescinded quite a while ago. I don't remember exactly when. And that's what Benito was talking about, that the committees would have one representative from each station, one director representative from each station, and two local station board members who are not directors also elected to these committees. However, there's a strange situation with KPFA, and that situation was that KPFA did not wish to seat certain alternates on their local station board. There were write-in alternates who were considered to be legitimate alternates. KPFA had some vacancies on their board. They had refused to seat those legitimate alternates to fill the vacancies. So the Pacifica National Board ruled that because of that, the KPFA board is not properly constituted. That decision was made after the KPFA board, before the vacancies existed, I believe, and after the KPFA board elected directors. However, Pacifica National Board decided not to recognize KPFA, people who KPFA elected to these committees. So KPFA has a deficiency in membership on all the committees except for the Finance Committee because of the fact that the national board ruled against allowing their board, which was deemed to be improperly constituted, to elect local station board members to any committee. So it's an unusual situation. KPFA actually has significantly less representation on these committees, for the most part, than other stations do at the moment. This will be rectified with this upcoming election. There was a lawsuit that was brought by somebody on the local station board of KPFA to challenge this. That lawsuit was lost, and the appeal was lost. So the Pacifica National Board ruling stands.
Ten to the sack.
I hope that I know it's confusing, but whatever.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks. I just want to say, I haven't spoken yet. Could we just vote on this question, whether to support the chair or not? I don't want to really go through the history of Pacifica, recent or past. It's just whether or not we support the chair's ruling.
Okay, so you're calling this question.
Yeah, I called
Grace Aaron.
Yes.
I'm sorry, once again, okay. Kevin. A yes vote supports your motion. I mean, her status, is that right?
The ruling. A yes vote supports the ruling, and a no vote does not support the ruling. Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Benito Diaz.
Absolutely not.
No. Let's see. Anissa Faruqi.
Yes.
Okay. Eric Ramey.
Catherine, can I pass and then come back to me, please?
Yes, pass. Tom Voorhees, are you back? No, he's not voting. Okay. So I'm going to abstain. And so, Eric, you're the last one to vote.
I'm going to abstain as well.
Okay.
Kathy, this is Jim. I'm sorry I'm late. I had a medical thing to have to deal with. I vote yes.
Okay. Hi, Jim. I'm glad to hear you. You're okay enough to be here. Okay. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4. Four yeses, one no, and two abstentions. So my ruling carries. And Benito, feel free to take this to the PMB if you want to take it further. I understand your position. Next thing on the on our agenda is how keeping track of our motions and getting them to the PMB. So Ken, you wanted to speak to this.
Excuse me, it's occurred because of the productivity of Jim in putting forward all these motions. We have the formation of, you know, a new set of policies that is being put forward here. So I just want us to keep track of what we approve, that it then is noted to have been presented to the PMB, and what status it's in, and so forth. Because, in other words, we need some kind of a process to monitor the forward motion and approval and implementation of these policies, not just going through, you know, approving them. It would really just be somebody's got to take on that assignment, but the task is just, you know, you put them in a spreadsheet and keep track, make sure we have the correct final versions, keep a record of the vote, and then verify that it was presented to the PNB, determine when the PNB addressed it or not, you know, just the date and what the resolution occurred from that and so forth. I really think there's too many there to just throw them all up against the wall.
Yes, I, Ken, I would like to respond, but is, does anyone else want to speak to this at the moment? So, Ken, I recognize the same problem, and I've been going through some of the minutes to pull out the motions that we have passed, and it's the motions have been on the PMB agenda throughout the year, but because the PMB meetings have been somewhat volatile, it's very difficult to get to them. Though I did communicate with the secretary of the PMB, and the motions that I present will be on the agenda for this Thursday's meeting. So at the moment, I have the two we've just passed, and I have to add to that the few that we've already passed and whatever we have passed tonight. There's no guarantee that the PMB will get to them, but that's what's happening so far. But I think having that spreadsheet is a good idea as well. Does anyone else want to speak to this?
Benito.
Yes, Benito.
Yeah, I agree with both you and I guess it was Jen, as I spoke earlier. But I would say that the problem is much deeper than whether or not the PMB actually rules on these motions. The real problem, or the worst problem, as I would see it, is what happens after the PMB approves. What, you know, Maxie is, you know, according to those motions which I read today, Maxie would have to implement them. How many hands does he have? You know, I mean, I don't see how one person can do the stuff he's got as his current duties and take on additional ones as well. And so, I mean, that's the current situation. But even if he had some assistance, and of course he doesn't, who's going to keep track of all these motions and who's going to be on top of these GMs and PDs to make sure that they do what they're supposed to do? The one of the most, I think everybody will agree, if we don't agree on nothing else, is that the biggest problem that all factions of all LSD have is with management and their refusal to cooperate with the LSD.
Okay, I would like to respond to that, and I'll invite Maxie to respond to that. First, I would say that Maxie has been on a good portion of these calls and has been very interactive with the formation of these motions, and we've been responsive to many of his suggestions, if not all, certainly not all, but many. And it seems to me that we're in a different era of cooperation. But I'll leave it to Maxie to respond as well.
I mean, I will acknowledge, well, first of all, I agree. I've been on most of these calls. I am in accord with the spirit of much of what Jim has put forward. I have been, I think, as you mentioned, quite involved in trying to curtail what I would say is a tendency to be a bit onerous on the staff and management on various motions that are articulated. And I think your characterization that this committee is taken that under consideration and made independent decisions is accurate as well. I think the bottom line, to answer Benito's
question. If this is going to work, and I think you're right in saying that it is a bit of a heavy lift, once they are finally approved by the PMB, they have to be codified in some kind of guidelines, not so much guidelines, but I want to say operational objectives for our program directors and general managers, but the program directors in particular, something that can be graded in terms of their ability to execute. My biggest concern has been where this committee has, in my opinion, stepped into operations as opposed to offering policy. And I've always tried to, in some respects, either communicate my concerns when I think we're encroaching on that divide. And I think we've had respectable and respectful conversations about all of this. So I'll leave it at that. I do think we have to operationalize it by making operational objectives for the PDs if we, in fact, you know, for everything that we accept. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Very good. Anyone else want to speak to this discussion? How are we on time with this discussion?
I thought we had changed. Yes, we're over about 3 minutes. I thought we had gone to a different.
Okay, so there is no motion here, but I think it is noted that we do have to perhaps look at this discussion in 2 points. One is keeping track of these motions, and the other is forming some kind of evaluation of policy as opposed to operations, and creating some kind of operational objective so that they don't seem quite so random. And perhaps that's something to charge to the next committee to take these motions and work on those aspects of it. That's what comment I would make. But let's go on to
Ken. I want one last comment on that. There's in the chute on the path to approval is a long-term project called the Pacifica Employee Handbook, which has existed in the past but has recently been updated, and that has a lot of operational standards and guidelines for program directors, programmers, staff, and so forth. But I concur that you want to get it agreed upon so it's not arbitrary and so somebody doesn't just pick and choose from 47 things they're supposed to do. So that's correct. There has to be an evaluation of what's the proper thing to do and what sequence and what's more important than the other. But I just wanted to point out that a part of stability is on its way with the, once the PNB approves the, Pacific Employee Handbook for paid and unpaid staff.
Madam Chair,
okay.
If I may.
Yes, please.
I'll be brief. I think establishing operational objectives is a staff function. I wouldn't burden the board or a committee with developing those. I think establishing these motions is more than enough to determine that this should be dealt with. I think the next role, once they are finally approved, is for staff at the executive director level, at the GM level, at the PD level, to operationalize them as objectives and goals, and to make that part of our grading process of the PD and the GM.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That makes sense to me. Maybe it would just be to for you to establish some way of allowing us to know how that was being done or how that was coming along. So the first motion for consideration, we don't have to deal with them in this order, but I see here blockchain programming, would be the first motion coming up. Let me see if I have a copy of that somewhere. Not sure that I do. Jim, are you in a position to be able to read the motions, or would you like me to find it and try to find it and read it?
Let me find it.
Benito with a question.
Yes, Benito.
Before we read the motion, can you just explain what blockchain programming is?
No, I actually can't. That's why we need to read the motion.
I see.
This is Grace for the stock.
Yes, Grace.
Okay, I read over some of the links that Jim appended to this proposed motion. I think that this consideration of this particular motion should be postponed until it has we can study it better, or a little committee can look at it, because it's in a development form among certain groups that are multimedia groups. It's very confusing, and I don't know that as far as I'm concerned, this is not should not be a priority for Pacifica at this time until it's examined a little more closely and adapted to our uses, if it's even considered appropriate. So I would say that there are other motions here that should take priority, and that we should just postpone consideration of blockchain programming until a future date.
All right. Are there any objections to postponing the discussion on blockchain programming? Jim?
I think you might be able to. Basically, we could wait on it because there's other stuff to do. I do think, though, it should be considered, because part of it's the reason I threw it in there is because they're basically partnering up through that organization, Civil, with all sorts of media organizations that we currently have no relationship with at all. And, but yes, I believe the last time we discussed it, we just decided to have a report made. So that's why I put those links in. So a report has not really been made. So, yeah, of course we could decide to put it back for another time.
Okay. So there's no objection apparently to that. Consider it postponed. The next one is Kuhn's. Can you read the motion on Kuhn's? Or does someone have a comment starting off with the Kuhn's?
Whereas the Pacifica Foundation needs to increase its audience in order for it to be fiscally healthy, the current Kuhn's of the station need to be doubled in all efforts made to realize this goal, since the percentage of people contributing will only go up if the Kuhn is doubled. Resolved that all local station management teams will be required by March 2019 to submit plans on a quarterly basis as to how they're progressing to double their weekly Kuhn of listeners. All local station management teams will be required to submit their plans to double their overall Kuhn by March 2019, and therefore all quarterly reports to the EDP and BNP programming committee will reflect their progress in the goal. The adherence to these measures and their implementation will be part of the evaluation process to measure the effectiveness of the GMs, PD, and development officers at each station. It is especially important to concentrate on increasing the Kuhn between 6 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. Special attention needs to be paid to morning and afternoon drive. Now, Maxi, in his critique, added a comment like this: each Pacifica station's PD will be required to conduct a market analysis, define a community engagement strategy, content development, and affinity viral marketing campaign towards targeting and growing audience. So I put that into the motion. That's in the rewrite resolutions 2 document, which I sent to you guys just a few minutes ago.
Okay.
Max is in the stack. And just a comment, I think the last time we had a discussion about this, Maxie was critiquing it because it was too ambitious to consider doubling the Kuhn in a year. He felt that 10% growth, if I recall, was the discussion.
I would point out that we have situations in morning and afternoon drive in some of the stations where doubling the cum from 500 to 1,000 or 1,000 to 2,000 in a 6 to 7 month period is not an unreasonable goal, since it's so pathetically low to start with. So I want to put that into the mix there. It's low, it's pathetically low in certain situations, and it should be changed. And doubling it with it so low is not a particularly unreasonable goal.
Hold on. Eric, and then Benita.
And then Ken.
Ken.
Okay. Jim, was this your... Okay. Oh, this is one of Jim's. I just have an observation. It seems there's several different things going on there. And it seems like they should not be voted on block. I mean, I don't want to burden anybody with anything. But, I mean, if one of those components is not... favorable to someone, I mean, they'd be in a position to vote the whole thing down. That's just an observation. There seems to be like at least five different components there that we'd need to vote on in a block. But that's it.
Okay. Benito.
Yes, Catherine, it's just a question. Where are these motions? Because I was looking before the meeting and couldn't, you know, I didn't see any document with regard to that. But more to the point at the moment, I couldn't hardly make out anything that Jim said. So I didn't get what the gist of the motion was.
Okay. So we'll have it read again after everyone has a chance to comment. Let's see who is next. Ken.
And this is Grace. I'd also like to speak.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is a great example of what Maxie was just talking about earlier in this meeting. If you substitute the word floors and consider that we're not in the radio business, but we're building apartment houses, and you say, yeah, well, you got to double your number of floors you make every week, and I want to triple it by the third week in October, and so forth. This is something that comes from management, from a general manager or in a station or the executive director. It's incentives to increase certain statistics. Even the choice of what statistics to raise are management decisions, whether you want to get first, you might want to get partial audience, you know, people who listen for 2 seconds before you go to push up the cum. I'm not an expert in the radio business, so I don't know how to increase an audience. But I believe that Maxie and some of the program directors have experience in raising the number of listeners. And I consider that an expertise that's in that field. Maybe Jim has some also, but I don't know the overall logic to it. Like, you got to put in the framing, and then you do the drywall, and now you lay the concrete. There's steps you take. It's a field of expertise. This is management. It's not governance. So I don't think we should address this issue in governance.
Okay, Maxie.
I'll withdraw my comment. My opportunity.
Okay.
This is Grace.
Yes, you're next, Grace.
Yeah. As is often the case, I completely disagree with Ken. I think that although Maxie's addition to this motion is well taken, I think that part of it is a management decision. So, for instance, maybe one station wants to improve listenership through more community involvement and another one with more market research, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's completely necessary for the board to give performance criteria that we expect to be realized by management. It's absolutely urgent that we improve our listenership, but it's up to management to figure out how to do that. I think that doubling the listenership at our stations, I mean, our KPFK's listenership is so low, it's just not on the radar at all. In a signal area that has 23 million people in it, it's unacceptable that our average listenership is something in the range of 300 to 500 people per hour. It's just not acceptable. So, and we also, in June 2007, added to the job description of every PD in Pacifica that it's their job to improve the listenership of the station. So this goes along with this. I think that I strongly agree with this motion. I think we should just pass it. And let management figure out how to do it. But I think it needs to, a focus needs to be made so that the listenership is improved.
Yeah, Jim to the stack.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah, you know, I've been looking at this situation in Pacifica now for almost 27 years. And, you know, I understand that it is onerous to say, like, okay, you got to double it, triple it. Because we know that if we had 2 to 3 times a greater cum in each market, we wouldn't be having these financial problems that we have, because we'd be taking a certain percentage of the listenership in terms of being members from each market, and it would be a lot bigger. It'd be a lot better to have a cum of 500,000 than 150,000 or something like that. So I think that a goal of doubling it, and particularly in morning and afternoon drive in these situations, which is really abysmal, I think is not unreasonable. As a goal. And, you know, putting into practice a whole bunch of different measurements, you know, one's not going to try to chastise, you know, carry the person up to Mount Cavalry if they haven't necessarily achieved it. But I think trying to strive to improve, to better, to use the phrase, the user end of it, I think is not a unreasonable goal. And certainly when we get the Nielsen ratings from different stations in greater detail, you know, it's not unreasonable, it's not counter-revolutionary, or, you know, gentrifying the media, which we hear here in New York from some, to have more than 200 people an hour listening to somebody at between 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning. So I just think that common sense should prevail, that we should be trying to improve the whole situation by having more people listening, and this is just simply one other measurement to throw into the mix, among other things, to have as procedures simultaneously operating.
Catherine, I'm going to put myself on the stack. So my sense of the CUME's improvement is good. I feel that the timing is too short, being March 2019, because I know at WBAI we're going into fund drive in February, which will probably last at least into March. So I would like to propose that March 2019 be changed to maybe June 2019. Or July 2019.
Maxie to the stack.
Yes, Maxie.
So if I may contribute now, I think you're the date that Jim is suggesting is the date that the PD and or station manager would articulate a plan.
Oh, okay.
And so I think that makes it less threatening, if you will. But I would argue that you could justify that this is something that needs to be well thought out. It needs to be thought about in terms of how it can be resourced, whatever strategy is employed, whether it's human resources or financial resources. I should also make mention that PFW doesn't have Nielsen ratings. They don't get them. They're probably the only station in our system that does not have them. But they do not have Nielsen ratings. I was over there today, and they confirmed that. And so I'm not sure that they would be in a position to quantify a doubling of their of any day part. One of the things that I would like to emphasize that I do think it's highly unreasonable to think that any station is going to double its cumulative, even in a one-year window. None of our stations, in my opinion, and having visited four out of the five, either have the resources, the programming expertise, or a strategy that they are ready to unravel that would do this. I do agree, though, that if you focus on perhaps one day part at a time, this strategy might be effective. And instead of saying doubling, why don't we just articulate the need to define a strategy and demonstrate 10%, 25%, perhaps at most, improvement in a certain day part. And I'll add that one of the things that National Public Radio did, NPR did, to increase the cume for Morning Edition, which is one of two of their shows that are in the top three nationwide, is that they literally just focus on on-air promotion. And that strategy alone increased cumes in markets across the country for that day part. That's a realistic approach. And I will tell you, no one doubled their cume. You had some folks who may have had a 40 to 50% increase in the morning drive day part, but most stations were in the average of 10 to 15% increase. And that's across the country with well over 120 to 200 stations participating. I say that to say, not that we need to emulate NPR, because I know that's a phobia with some folks, but more importantly, it's just a realistic understanding of what might be attainable for our stations with the resources that we have to accomplish. And if we attack this as sort of every 6 months, the program directors in relationship to the general manager and maybe even me can work on a strategy to improve a different day part, I think incremental steps are the best way to approach something like this versus this sort of overall concept that we can double cume out of thin air. I'll leave it at that.
All right, Jim to the stack.
And Grace to the
stack. Okay, Jim. Hold on.
Yeah.
Jim, go ahead, yeah.
All right, I'm looking at Nielsen ratings are simply one measurement, we know. So it's not like the gold and silver bullet. It can be a club, but it's only one way of looking at it. I'm looking right now at the Nielsen ratings with that proviso that were for September, October in New York City. And between 6 and 7 o'clock on one day, 100 people were listening. Later that day, 600 were listening, according to this, and then it goes up to 4,200 when Amy comes up. These numbers more or less fluctuate back and forth in that morning drive time, and then afternoon drive time is also problematic, although it's a little better. It goes back and forth. Now, the key to, as far as I'm concerned, to help grow the overall situation is to make sure more people are listening to Morning Drive at BAI that then spills over into Amy and then spills over into shows afterwards. The same thing with Afternoon Drive. So to say that we want to double the cume in that particular time slot as an objective, as opposed to the overall cume, which is more difficult to do, I don't think is unreasonable. And this has been going on and on and on as an issue. And to set goals, to set some sort of guideline, a goalpost, okay, let's try to secure this objective. That's where I'm coming from on this, because the cumes have always stayed
in New York between 150 to 250,000 continually for 30 years. And the question is, how do you then get that to grow? And yes, it's not impossible if we have other things in motion to really excite people and maybe do something. But I think if I point out in Morning Drive that these numbers are so low, that's frankly unacceptable no matter what kind of ideological justification you use to counter that kind of argument. So I do think that, you know, this is not unreasonable to focus in on as a goal, not to sit there, as I say, and chastise and blame and, you know, oh, you didn't do this, you know, but try to get some movement forward. Because otherwise, you know, we don't have the fiscal stability we need since our revenue stream is overwhelmingly dependent on listener contributions. So that's where I sort of get into the QM idea. It's just a matter of mathematics. Certain
Madam Chair. Jim,
can I just comment on that real quick? Because I just want to
Who is that, Maxie?
That's me, yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I just I can go on the stack. I can go on the stack.
Yeah, I'll put you on the stack. It's Grace. And did I hear someone else there?
No, was that was Eric. I was just going to say to Jim that he's a bit over.
Okay.
It's fine.
So, okay. All right. It's important to keep track of that. Are there any objections to continuing beyond 10 minutes for this motion? Okay, let's go on. Grace and then Maxie. Grace?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. As a slightly non sequitur comment, to my recollection, WPFW for many years has had the highest market share of any Pacifica station. I think that the listenership actually at WPFW is probably quite high in comparison to the other stations. I'm not sure if that holds true currently, but I believe it may hold true. There are ways of telling the performance without the Nielsen. It's possible to figure it out by Otis. Keeps a statistic of online listenership and downloads, archive listenership. And those are all at a website called stats.pacifica.org. What we found at KPFK years ago is that the internet listenership directly paralleled the Arbitrons. So even though that's WPFW may not have the Nielsens, may not be subscribing to the Nielsens, they can still look at stats.pacifica.org to see how their listenership is fluctuating, what shows are doing better than other shows, et cetera. At least that's one metric that could be used. I would question the validity, Maxie, with all due respect, of saying that it's impossible to, it's an unrealistic goal to double the QM. I think that that is valid in an NPR station where it's hard to go from 500,000 listeners to a million listeners. However, it's not so hard to go from 200 listeners to 400 listeners. And that's sort of our situation. There's a certain threshold you reach where it's harder to add listeners, but I don't think that that's true at any of our stations. Our listenership is so low. So I would like to look at the motion. I can't seem to find it. I'd like to maybe modify it a little bit. Where can I find it so I can cut and paste it and make some amendments?
Kathy? I believe Jim just sent it out.
Yeah, I did. QM's improvement, January 29th, 2019. I'll send it again if necessary.
Okay, so you just sent it?
Yeah, I'll send it again.